Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this December 9th, 2022, to 10:31 on the clock. And you have your host, James Jay, here, and I am joined by head coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Paul Peckman, with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you been?
Doing all right.
Yeah? It's been a long time since, we just hung out on Monday, we were talking, but I'll have you in every day if I can, man. I love talking with you, love talking hockey.
Same here.
We'll mention this again before we wrap up today, but I do want to remind the audience that our River Kings are back in town this Saturday. They are going to be taking on Hudson. It's going to be a great game. River Kings versus Hudson. Our pregame will start about 6:59 on our sister station, Wisc Country, 105.5 WIRR. I encourage you to check out that game. And if you can't get to the rink, we got the game for you right there. But, man, get to the rink if you can. Let us fill up the Southwood County Rec Center. Show them what home ice advantage is. I want Hudson to leave here shaken. I want them to be like, oh, man, I don't want to play there again. Let's let them know what home ice advantage is. Coach, before we dive into the team, I want to talk about your goalies. I want to talk about how it's been going so far this part of the season. Our River Kings are in fourth place. That's exciting. So I want to get to some of those things. If you don't mind, and I know for the audience, you guys may not know this. I grew up with hockey guys. My whole first 20 year or 10, 15 years in this planet was surrounded around hockey people. Hockey guys don't like talking about themselves. Right. Midwesterners really don't, but especially hockey people. Paul, I'm going to make you do it just for a little bit here, and then we'll talk about hockey. We'll get back to the team. But you have such an interesting backstory to me. I think that hockey people in general do. Growing up, my mom used to always tell me, I'm not just Jewish. I am Russian Gypsy Jew. I had to put it that way. It was of real importance to our family about the gypsy part of things. And then I grew up, my mom marries a hockey player who are gypsies. Hockey players are just, you're just traveling all over. It'd be one of those things like if you had a suitcase, it's got all that from here and here and here. Where did you start, though?
I started in Long Island, New York. Grew up there and played my youth years there. And then I had a bad accident playing hockey when I was 13, I believe. Broke my thigh in three places, so I was out for the entire year. And while I was in rehab, I told my father I wanted to go away to prep school. So I wound up going to Lake Placid to a prep school right after the 1980 Olympics.
Oh, my gosh.
So wow. I played there for 2 years.
Wow.
And then it was time to move on, and I wound up going to a prep school in Connecticut. I played there for 3 years, and then that's how I got recruited to play at UConn. So
nice.
That's my travels during my playing career. You know, I mean, during the youth years, I've gone to junior A camps in Canada and small things like that, and traveled around the country a little bit. But for the most part, that's my path.
Do you have a position set? You played a lot?
I was a center.
Nice.
I played
center
my entire life. Too small to play anywhere else, so put me in the middle.
My dad can relate to that. My dad was a left winger, but they always tried to put him at center because he just wasn't he was good at face-offs, but he wasn't one of the biggest guys out there or anything.
Right.
So you get your start out east. As you mentioned your playing career and that, what got you to want to flip that into coaching?
Well, it's funny, actually. You know, I after my college years, I played in the Industrial League for about 9 years, and I was almost 30 when I retired, and it was time to we relocated to Florida with the family. My father was a machinist, had a big shop there, and he retired, and the whole family went there. And while I was playing, I was in sales, and so my father kind of brought me down there, and we went through that. You know, manufacturing business for about 10 years, and the crash of 2008 happened.
Oh, okay.
Right? So lost everything. And then that's when I picked up the map and I told my wife, where do you want to go? And she said, well, Carolina was nice. And so we went to Carolina, and within a week of being in Carolina, I get a phone call. A buddy of mine had sent in my name and contact information to the junior program. Huh. And it turns out that I know the GM there. I actually played against him when I was in prep school in Connecticut.
Wow.
And then my first year in college, he was one of the college coaches that we played against. So he had this whole book on me and knew everything about me. Yeah. He says, you're coming with me. And that's how it started. And that was over 15 years ago.
That is so dang cool, man. Yeah. That is really interesting.
He's my mentor, and he's still a good friend of mine today. So
that's good to hear.
Talk to him a lot.
Very cool. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, man. That is so cool. I've never heard a story that wasn't interesting when it comes to hockey players. That's one of the more interesting ones I've heard because so often, like even thinking about Coach Quarters that was here before and some other coaches I have talked to over the years in other sports, it often is, well, my playing career ends. I love this sport. I want to stay a part of it. So naturally, I'm going to go into coaching. It seems more like you were kind of like picked, like somebody drafted you to be a coach almost.
Definitely was not looking for it. You know, I was at that age where I was more about, I was investing in real estate. You know, I had homes, I had this, I had that. And then with the crash of 2008, lost a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of made you change gears a little bit. And it kind of fell in my lap. And this is just what I was, it was coming full circle.
Yeah.
So.
Now, you're coaching in other places. How did you hear about the opportunity here in Rapids? And what was attractive to you about the job?
Well, I coached in this league for about 10 years, right, on the East Coast, right? So we had played in showcases every now and then. And when this used to be the Minnesota Junior Hockey League. Mm-hmm. So when it folded, it came to our league. So nobody knew the talent level because on the East Coast, it was the premier and elite divisions, right?
Yeah.
So they came in as the elite and to see where they were at. And I actually wound up playing against some of these teams in the showcase in Boston.
Hmm.
So that's where I first got an idea of who they were, right?
Yeah.
And then what happened was years later, I just got done coaching college for 3 years, and I wanted to get back to juniors.
Hmm.
And I actually wanted to put a team in Charleston, West Virginia. Right. It was. I've been working on it for 8 months. Had the rink.
Wow.
Had everything set up. Designed new locker room. The commissioner of the league wouldn't let me because there wasn't an existing owner.
Oh.
So. Turns out I had my mentor called John Schwartz, who's the owner of the River Kings.
Oh.
Right. I got in touch with John. We talked. He put in a good word to the commissioner. Still wouldn't let me.
Huh.
And then John had mentioned, hey, there's an opportunity here.
Oh, right on.
And that's how it happened.
I'm sorry for West Virginia. We're very happy for Wisconsin Rapids. I'm very selfishly very, very happy. Although that is rough, especially amount of time. It sounds like you put a lot of energy and time into that project.
It was something I wanted to do. You know, it was time for me to I wanted to build my own program, right? I know what I wanted to do and how to go about it, and it was the right fit. There's only three rinks in the state, right? So they were starving for hockey, and it's a big neutral site for college teams.
Yes.
So they pack them in. They have no problem putting 2,000 people in the seats.
Yeah.
So it was ideal. Everything would have been, and that's where I would have went until. This came, and when the opportunity came up, it took me maybe about 5 minutes because I knew about the team. I knew about the community, the support, and all that stuff. And I just looked at my wife and I said, well, I guess I'm going to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That's how it happened. Yeah.
We're going to take a break in a second and come back and focus on the team. Before that, though, you mentioned that you've gotten this in your head now. I have an idea. I have an identity that I want to create here with a team. You take in this team, and in the first year, it's pretty hard to kind of, you know, bring in that completely, just start from day one with your vision, if you will. How have you been able to incorporate some of that in this first year? And looking ahead, do you feel confident you're going to be able to really make that happen?
Yeah, I think our, I want our identity on the ice to be a certain way and transfer into the community, right? Mm. So we're hardworking, we're very structured, right? With a team with speed. And again, you know, we've talked about this before, but it's the things that we talk about in the locker room about who we are and you know, we preach, we give more than we get.
Yeah.
That kind of mentality. And we take that to the community and we do the things that we do. And we're going to do more and we're going to constantly be involved. And I want people to know that, you know, we're not just hanging out at the rink all day. That's not who we are. That's not what I want. And that's not the way I raise my kids. So I want these guys. The identity is that we're all in all the time, right? And that's the mentality that we're going. So far, so good.
I think on this level, any of the major sports have a similar thing with this. You hear it a lot with MLB player or major baseball players. You know, they build families because they're, you know, they play with these guys a lot in certain collective times. And hockey players, it's a whole other level because so often, not to say that they're not doing this with baseball players, but you know, every once in a while you have some players from maybe the Dominican or Mexico or another country coming over. It's always that way with hockey. You're always bringing and talent from not just another state, another country. So you really do have to have this kind of family mentality and this connection. And it's I'll say this, all the successful programs do this, where the way you are off the ice, very, you know, it bleeds into on the ice and vice versa. And that character that you have off the ice falling into and on the ice as well. And I think you are building that. I know you're building that. I know that the community feels that. I know that we've already, even in the what we've gotten to have for a season so far, we've already seen that, oh, this is a coach's team. Okay. Especially, I have to come back to this. My first interaction with you and the team, Steph and I come down there to do some interviews. And you couldn't have been nicer to us and treated us great and everything. I was so taken back. I know you haven't been around these guys that much. Like, hey, we're doing interviews, two by twos. And immediately, everybody's in line, getting ready. They're still talking and everything. It wasn't like, you know, everybody went silent and just got in line. It wasn't military-like necessarily, but it was pretty darn close to that. And the order with that, the way we were able to do that, it may not seem like a big deal to maybe people out there, but as a hockey kid, what I saw is, these guys are ready. Okay, I need my second line. I need my where are my second defensemen? Where are the, you know, when you're calling on them in game time, they're ready to go. They're listening. They're engaged. Right. And that's so important in hockey. Just seeing that already, I was like, oh, this is going to be a fun season. And it really has been. And we're going to get into the season when we come back. We'll take a really quick commercial break. And then we'll be back with Coach Peckman right here on Morning Magazine on WFHR. We are here on Morning Magazine. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour with Wisconsin Rapids River Kings head GM and coach Paul Peckman, and always appreciate the time, sir. Thanks again for being in with us.
Absolutely.
I mean, you should get hazard pay putting up with me twice in one week. It's not fair. So, I do want to put a little bit of the focus on the team for a second. And as somebody who has always admired certain positions in sports, and while I never played goalie, I had a couple friends growing up that were goalies, and you know this probably better than I do. My dad really is the one that brought this home to me. In order to be a goalie, you have to be a different animal. There's just a different type of that it is a goalie. And the goalies that we've had this season, I mean, just a step above. Like the animal that they have been bringing to the ice is a different character. And so much so that big shout out to goalie Bora
Yildirim.
Yildirim, thank you, for being the USPHL's premier Midwest West Division goalie of the week. Mm-hmm. And this isn't the first time this has happened. We've had another goalie who was a goalie of the week, I believe, too.
Lucas Bryan.
Yes. Lucas, can we talk about the goalies for a second?
Sure.
What has stood out to you about these guys this season that's, well, for one, that made you want to recruit them, but also why you think that they have been performing this well this season?
Well, I think their work ethic I think is very, very exciting to watch. I think Bohr is so mechanical. He's so driven, you know. He's the Czech Republic, right? Yeah, he's got that mentality.
Yeah.
He's got to be perfect, and that kid works nonstop on his game, as does Lucas. I mean, Lucas is he's college ready, right? I mean, this kid is he's going to be a great find for a school. And he's got plenty of them that are interested in it, so it's just his choice at this point. So they're very motivated in different ways. They're very quiet, focused kind of kids, and they're sound and they're smooth, and you don't have to worry, right? With either one of them in there. Bora's starting to catch. He's starting to relax a little bit more. Lucas is the veteran that just comes in and just swallows everything up, right? So it gives you that little bit of breath of fresh air. You don't have to worry about that. Bohr is getting there now. He's got a couple big wins under his belt, and he's starting to accumulate some good numbers. So I'm proud of him.
That's so cool to hear. I got a lot of musicians friends, and one of the things that I've noticed that the best bands, they got a great drummer. I mean, maybe a great singer, you know, lead guitar player, all these things, but every great band that I can think of has that great drummer, that consistency, that, you know, John Bonham, if you will, that guy that keeps the rhythm, but also keeps the mood, keeps right. the tempo. Right. And oftentimes, not every team maybe, but in a lot of hockey teams, especially on this level, how the goalie is and that mood that they have, that temperament that they have, bleeds into the rest of the team. Is that the case with the River Kings?
No question. We are very comfortable in playing the style that we play because you have good goalies. Mm. Okay, and we also have Ian Tum that's right there. He's just the younger of the three of them, and he's just as good. So
I'm glad he got to bring him up.
It gives us the comfort knowing that if we're down by a goal or two, we're okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not going to get out of hand. We still got plenty of time to come back, and you know you can trust these guys.
Do they use the same techniques, or do they both have like a similar, like a butterfly technique, or do they?
Somewhat. Lucas is more of a he's positionally he's so sound that it almost looks like he's not even trying. Right?
Yeah,
he's so smooth.
And
everything just kind of comes to him and he swallows it up. Boris is a little more down, probably a little more in a butterfly. And he's got to settle down, right, and take notes from Lucas to get to that level, but he's getting there. And that's the stuff we're talking about. Sometimes he crouches down a little bit low, plays smaller, right? You always talk about goalies playing bigger, right?
Yeah.
You want him to play bigger. And that was the conversation we had in our meeting this week is I want him to start playing bigger.
Mm.
And I mean, he's 5-2 right now. He's got great numbers, 0.921 save percent. Lucas is over 0.95, which is fourth in the league. I mean, these guys are doing a tremendous job. And it allows us, listen, we give up a lot of shots because of the structure that we have.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with it because a lot of them, the shots are from the outside. And I don't have to worry about these guys. They got it covered. And I know that. So we're in a good spot.
And when those shots miss, that's where your good defenseman and the puck handling, a good forward comes into play. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the defenseman next and how that group has been coming together, because that's a really sound group you got there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Kyle Cupolo is our horse. I mean, he's a guy that plays 35 minutes plus. Mm. I mean, one game against the Squatch, he played 44 minutes.
Man.
I mean, it's unheard of. And he was sick. So he's just... he's the guy that plays a lot. He's very smart. He's the energized bunny. I mean, this kid don't stop. So in practice, during the games, whatever, he's just constant going. Very smart, very committed. Johnny Leppert's our veteran back there, and he's got 4 years of experience under his belt. So he knows how to get in, get out of traffic, and move the puck and help us go north, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we want to get down the ice quickly. So he's our leader. He's a great job back there. And the rest of the guys are younger. I mean, they're 04s, which are 18-year-olds, right?
Okay.
So a couple of guys are starting to step up. James Dubel, Braden Medved, Matisse Mayville, all these guys are starting to groom, starting to elevate their game. We just brought in, you're talking about bringing in players from all over the world. We brought in another defenseman, Lucas Whitehead from Canada. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. I didn't play the disclaimer earlier. We'd like you to turn your phones off. With it silent?
Yeah, sorry.
No worries.
So Lucas Whitehead is in, just joined us. Played last weekend, did a great job, and fit right in. And you talk about the family issue. I mean, these guys are, you know, they just gel right away. And hockey's universal.
Yeah.
Right? So...
the rest of the team, we're looking at forward centers. Where how has that come together, and how is the chemistry with the different lines and you know, moving people around and everything? How's that been working throughout this early season?
Well, I think it's well. I mean, we have a group of guys that kind of clicked at the beginning, and again, you know, we talked about this the other day about certain guys. You know, if they're hurt, if they're sick, and you got to move it around. And the way that I teach these guys and the way I run my lineup is simply because that's the way it is in college, right? So they have to get used to, listen, I can only play with that guy. No, it doesn't work like that. You've got to be able to know your job, play your position well, and be productive, right? So no matter who you're playing with, you know that they're going to be there in a certain spot. Right, if a certain situation, they're going to be there, no matter who it is.
Right,
doesn't matter. Do your job, and you'll have the support. So that's, I move guys around all the time because I don't want them getting too comfortable so that they can't play with other guys. Because we have two power play units. We have three penalty killing units. So there's a constant, I can go you and you, go.
Yeah.
And they know what to do,
mm-hmm.
right? And that gives them the experience come playoff time.
I really think, and again, just not at all trying to act like I know anything, but growing up in hockey and watching hockey, to me, the greatest coaches have never said, well, this is set. This my lineup is set. This is the way it's going to be. Every good coach I've seen is willing to, even when things are going good, to change things up for the, if anything, for chemistry's sake. You just never know. You get into the playoff situation or you get into a power play situation and you got this guy injured who you've been counting on all season and these other guys haven't worked together all season. You wouldn't want that. So it makes sense to do it that way. I just feel like that's a smart way of handling it. It builds chemistry through the whole team as opposed to line one, line two, line three, that kind of thing.
Well, there's no question. You're absolutely right. And like this weekend we're going through it because Tobias Falkheid, who's one of our big top scorers, is in Norway right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, well, somebody's got to take a spot on the power play. Somebody's got to take a spot, right? So you got to move guys around. And it also, it keeps everybody fresh and their psyche still involved. Because if they think they're always on the fourth line, then they're going to play like that in practice,
right?
You're never going to. So if you're moving them around, there is no fourth line here. We have four lines that can contribute and play with anybody in the league. So and everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So now they're all worried about when they get off the bus, who's going to sit this game, right? Because they're all working hard, and I got them all involved in different lines all week long.
That's not just insightful and intelligent, man. I think that's really like really cool for the players too. If I'm a parent or if I'm one of those kids, I want to play for somebody like that. That's the kind of coach I want to play for. So that's a nice part of this too, recruiting wise, scouting wise. That's interesting. And I'm glad you brought up you know how we lose kids from time to time too. As we've talked about this with about our Rafters and other teams too. It's such a different thing that you have to deal with on this level. You know, I don't know if I got these kids all year long. I don't know if all season long or not. So I got to make do with what I have. And there's no complaining or no sympathy or anything like that. This is the way it is. But at the same time, it's admirable. It's I admire the work that gets done, not just by you, but these everybody coming together to make this happen. Your staff, all these kids, their host families, all these people coming together to entertain our community, to show us how great hockey can be. And to celebrate the game, to help build the game. Well, build the game up and down the river, really.
That's right. That's right.
I want to touch on the schedule real quick. And, of course, we've mentioned this before. You guys are home tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Glad to have you back in town. That's really good. You'll be taking on Hudson. That game will kick off about 7. Mm-hmm. Puck will drop about 7. Our pregame coverage will start over on our sister station about 6:59 or so. Join us over there if you can't make it to the Southwood County Rec Center, though we encourage you to do that. Looking at the schedule the rest of the season here, team is in fourth place. I'm sure he feels good, and at the same time, you want more. What are your expectations for the rest of the season?
I expect us to make a move here soon. I think we're, you know, last night the Dan Kay Show, which is the they do all the media for the league.
Yeah, shout out to Dan, and they do a great job.
And they do a power ranking. So last night they ranked us 18th. Out of the top 20.
Okay.
So, out of 72 teams. So, not bad.
No.
And part of that was stating that he feels or they feel that we're a playoff team that's being built. And I like where we're at. We've beaten everybody in our division, with the exception of Isanti, who we let that one get away, and we got them 3 games in a row here. So,
yeah. Looking forward to that series.
That'll change. But I feel real good. It's the two showcases that we got coming up here. So we're playing teams from other divisions. You don't know anything about them. So we got to make sure we do our homework and watch a lot of video. And I'm happy with coming out with splits. You know, if we go 2-2 in those showcases, it's a good weekend for us.
Yeah.
And then come home and take care of business. Right? So we do that. We have to be in the top 4 to get at least home ice for the first round. We got to be in the top 2 to get both rounds home ice advantage.
Yeah.
And that's what we're shooting for here.
Excellent. And not only attainable, I think you guys are going to do it. I'm backing you. I got all the confidence in the world in this team. I feel like it's such a tired phrase, but sometimes it's just true. Guys getting hot at the right time. Right. The chemistry is building at the right time. What you are been training these guys and the system you have, you could see they're getting it. You could see that they're guys that have been getting it from day one, but there's other kids that it's really like coming full circle now. It's really becoming to come together. You're seeing that these guys are not just only the chemistry is there, you're seeing them have fun. Like it's one of the most underrated things in sports. Are the players having a good time? Do they enjoy playing together? Do they look forward to coming to the rink? Right. It may not seem like a big deal to some, but at this level especially, that means the world. And it shows on the ice. Just like the other things you were touching on about, you know, off the ice, on the ice, that stuff bleeding together and being the same kind of person and everything. You're seeing that come together on the ice. You can tell these guys enjoy playing together. They're pulling for each other. They're brothers. That shows on the ice, and it's so important, in not just in sports, but in life. These are things, statistically, not every one of these kids is going to end up in the NHL, but they're all going to go on and have lives. They're all going to go on and have families and friends and everything. These are lessons. These are things that they will take to that.
Absolutely. Question.
Could talk to you for hours, man. I always appreciate the time, Coach. Thanks so much for everything you're doing in the community here, you and that team, that staff. Keep up the great work. We're going to be rooting for you all season long and looking forward to having you join us on Playmakers again real soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Also want to send a big thank you to our friends at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau, setting this interview up and giving us an opportunity to talk to Coach and for me to talk more hockey. really appreciate them doing that. Got great events going on all season long. Our Southwood County Historical Museum has their Christmas Tree Walk, Friday from 5 to 8 and Saturday 12 to 4. Miracle on 34th Street at the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, premiering tonight at 7, and they also got a show tomorrow at 7 and more coming up. So many great things in our community. Encourage you to take in. And, of course, your River Kings taking on the Hudson Havoc tomorrow at the Southwood County Rec Center at 7 o'clock. The puck will drop. Be there. And if you can't, be sure to take in the game on our sister station, Wis Country 105.5. We'll have that for you at 7 o'clock on WIRI Wis Country. Be sure to check that out and support the Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. We'll have more Morning Magazine for you next week right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.